Welcome back, everybody, to Arthropod. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Larson.
I'm your other host, Jody Green.
And we are happy that you've chosen to join us here on your favorite entomology podcast in the whole wide world, Arthropod. And today we're going to be talking about something that's really been a big, not issue, but something that a lot of people have been curious about here in Nebraska lately. We're going to be talking about painted lady butterflies, right, Jody?
I actually took today off to talk about butterflies and then get outside and watch butterflies because, as you know, I'm inside a lot.
It's true. We are inside a lot answering phone calls and emails and talking to people who walk in. And it's always good to get outdoors every once in a while and take a look at the beautiful majesty that is the nature around us. And we're looking at some pictures of painted ladies right now. And people have been fascinated by painted ladies here in Nebraska and I think in several other nearby states, right?
Oh, yeah. We've been calling it an explosion. Anytime anyone finds out I'm an entomologist, they want to talk about the butterflies. And I am very, very happy to talk about butterflies right now.
Yeah, usually people want to talk to us about ticks or brown recluses or German cockroaches.
Fleas.
And now we get to talk about beautiful orangey butterflies instead. So I think in Iowa and in Wyoming and Colorado and some of these other states.
Even in the Dakotas. From Canada, Ottawa, Canada, I think she texted me the other day and she's like, they're here. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of late. It's cold up there, right?
But let's talk a little bit about what a painted lady is, just in case people aren't quite familiar with it like we are now.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we always call them painted ladies.
Painted ladies.
And we sometimes have to actually say butterfly at the end, right? You never know.
Don't Google painted lady.
No, painted lady butterfly.
It's not PG
it's a
if
butterfly.
You Google it.
Yes.
But they're also known as the cosmopolitan and a few other names because it's a ubiquitous butterfly. It's not just here in North America. We see it pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere except for Antarctica?
And Australia?
Yes.
The two A continents?
Yes.
That's not true. There are more than
right.
But those two continents, yeah, I don't think that we see this particular butterfly on. But what does it look like?
So it's actually really cool that it is so cosmopolitan because you can describe it and see it, and someone else in a different state, different country are seeing it too. So it's really, really cool. So sometimes people get it confused with a monarch because it's orange.
Okay.
But if you look at it, I would say a medium-sized butterfly. From the top, when they spread their wings, they've got a brown body and then orange and then black tips. And then there's also some white pattern. And a lot of times when you see butterflies feeding, you'll see the side view of it. So it kind of looks like a triangle, but they've got like this pink, orangey top upper wing or the bottom of the upper wing. And then the bottom's got five eye spots. You can usually see the four really clear, but it's really cool. And actually when it's open, sometimes you'll see the spots are very blue.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll post a picture, right?
Absolutely. There will be many pictures on the blog. Yes. I like the eye spots and the mottled underwing. I know that the top side of the wing is the pretty part that everybody talks about, but I'm always fascinated by eye spots. And it's one of the I don't see too many butterflies with eye spots like this, particularly on the underwing, I guess. I don't get too many brought in here to the office.
I like the underwing.
Yeah.
Like the
crypsis, the sort of like weird pretty pattern. Mm-hmm. It's got like a dazzle pattern, like you used to see on old battleships and stuff.
Kind of reminds me of being like a peacock sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
If you're kind of looking for it and trying to figure it out, it's about 2 to 2.5 inches wide if it's got its wings open. And just like all butterflies, they have those capitate antennae and they tend to visit lots of different kinds of flowers as adults. The pollinator syndrome for butterflies is usually classified as purples and pinks and light colors like that the butterflies will visit. But we've seen these on white flowers, blue flowers, just about everything.
They're on everything. And in the morning, when the sun comes up, they're just trying to warm up. So they're often on buildings. I saw them on a lot of sidewalks this morning. At night, when it gets colder, they're actually in the trees.
Yeah.
And when their wings are closed and they're upside down, they blend perfectly into the leaves and trees. So you can't even see them. So one of the things I did the other day to show my daughter, it's kind of mean, I shook the tree and all the butterflies flew out.
That's awesome.
And she was like, ah, because you would never know they're there. And I guess entomologist, actually, Thelma called me from Wisconsin. She's like, they're all up in this tree.
Right.
So it's amazing where they are, and you just have to look to see them.
Yeah, and I think that people haven't been upset, really, have they, with the butterfly
Some people that commute on I-80, I think, were upset further west. Uh-huh. And I mean, I get upset when they fly into my car.
Yeah, we don't like to kill them, but it is fun to go out and look for them. And a lot of people have been asking questions about if they can attract them to their yard or to their property more. And really, you already have, you would have to have something in place, a pollinator sanctuary sort of already on your property.
Flowers. Plant lots of flowers.
Yeah. Pinks and purples are good, but lots of colors. They, butterflies tend to like flat looking flowers that look like a helicopter landing pad, like a cone flower that provides a lot of nectar. But we've seen these on round flowers. We've seen them on flowers with lots of little, like sedum that have lots of little nectars.
Sedum and a lot of pictures. Oh, right now, goldenrod.
Goldenrod, yeah.
So if you are inside right now and you live in the metro, Omaha, Lincoln, anywhere in between, go take a fake smoke break and go outside where it's sunny, where there's some flowering plants and blooms, and just go and just be delighted. I got actually hit in the eyebrow the other day with a painted lady.
Did you get the pixie dust on your face?
I was imagining that I had butterfly scale all over, and I was like, oh, good, I have natural eyeshadow.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I wonder if we used to use butterfly scales as eyeshadow.
I don't know.
Poor butterflies. Would be really tragic.
Yes, yes.
With the painted ladies coming around and flying around, I think that it's just been cool that so many people have gone outside to check it out. I was trying to push this idea that we should call it a bloom of butterflies, right? Because everybody kept saying, it's an explosion of butterflies. It's bloom of butterflies.
I might have contributed to the explosion.
Well, explosion's good. It's a little aggressive for a painted lady butterfly, though.
True.
Bloom, I thought, that's much more serene, like a butterfly.
A mega bloom?
Mega bloom. I don't. Is there a name for a group of butterflies like that, though? I don't know of one.
I don't know.
Maybe somebody will write in and tell us about it. But definitely go outside and check this out. If you haven't seen them, maybe you just haven't gone to the right spots. We see them in meadows. We've seen them in people's yards. The backyard farmer garden down in Lincoln was full of them. Just go around and look at them. Take some pictures of them. Tweet at us, hashtag Painted Lady, and show us some of the Painted Lady pictures that you're taking out there. We would love to see that and to hear more about where they're at and what you're seeing and what stages you're seeing. And speaking of stages, let's talk a little bit about their life cycle. So they're a butterfly. They go through complete metamorphosis. Do you know what the egg looks like?
Probably round and green and on the underside of a leaf where we don't normally look.
It's kind of roundish. And it's kind of got a greenish blue hue to it. And I've read that the hue will change depending on if you've reared it in a classroom or laboratory setting versus if you've reared it outdoors on natural plant material. But after they hatch, they're kind of a funny looking little caterpillar.
Yeah.
Very hairy. They have kind of spikes on them, don't you think?
Yeah, they're called like branch spines, and they're called a thistle caterpillar because they are commonly found on thistle. And one interesting thing about what they do is they will eat the leaf, but then they actually take it and they'll curl it up over them. So it's kind of like a caterpillar fort. You're all protected and they'll eat in there. And it's said that they defoliate the most at the last kind of stages in their larvalhood. So, you know, right before they pupate, they're going to want to eat a lot. So they do that in their fort. And the only reason I've seen them is because, you know, I'm a curious entomologist. And so when I'm soccer momming it up, I'll go and what's wrong with this leaf? And I've seen them in milkweed leaves too. So
I had several brought in on Joe Pye weed leaves. People will grow that in pollinator gardens. And this happened earlier in the year. I think in July or June, I was getting some caterpillars. And then I saw a bunch of adults around that time as well. And now we're seeing even more of them. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. But
and actually, an interesting thing about the caterpillar, that's the damaging stage.
Right.
So, you know, when we talk about insects, they have a certain kind of metamorphosis. And that will depend, you know, that will help with treatment. It'll help with control. It'll help with knowing that animal. So we love butterflies, but not everybody loves the caterpillar. And farmers that, you know, grow soybeans, the caterpillars can cause an alarm. So when they see a giant bloom or mega bloom of butterflies, that would cause them to be a little bit concerned. But it hasn't been too much of a problem. There's always a threshold. So they say like 20 to 25%. And usually it doesn't affect any soybean yield. So that is another good thing.
Yeah, we've seen some people talking about this on Crop Watch here at UNL. It does have over 100 different hosts, thistle and different kinds of weeds. But soybeans are up there on some of its favorite food. And I think it's cute that it would get in a big ag field and make sleeping bags out of those leaves. But I'm guessing that the farmer doesn't find it as adorable as we do.
No. And if you are a farmer listening, hi. And they are typically on the outer edges of the field.
Okay. So they don't get into the center part.
Right.
So they're more of an edge problem. Okay. Yeah.
So they talk about scouting. A lot of our crop entomologists out west have a lot of websites and books and things. But it's like the 20 to 25%.
Okay.
And they've got diagrams. They'll help you out if you're worried about it.
Okay. And we'll include some links to that in the show notes if you want to check that out and read more about the problem with painted ladies and soybeans. But this caterpillar and this butterfly, after a pupation and becoming an adult, they're actually kind of interesting because, much like the monarch, which people confuse them with, they are a migratory species.
Yeah. So when people think about migrating and they think about butterflies, they always think about monarchs.
Which is fine. I mean, the monarch is a majestic insect that people care about. It's a charismatic microfauna.
Yes, I do go nuts when I see a monarch too.
And we've seen a lot of monarchs right now. They are coming through the Omaha metro area. You said you haven't seen as many as you have.
Well, they haven't stopped to play and frolic.
Okay.
So maybe that hurts my feelings a little bit, right?
Well, people, they shed so much attention on monarchs. It's just, I think you and I, we root for the underdog bugs sometimes. Right.
Well, and as Natalia would say, like, the monarchs are the Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Right. Yes. They were almost the national insect of the United States in the past. Like in 1991, they tried to vote on that. I think that it probably got defeated because it's not exclusively a U.S. insect. It does get in. Does it get into Canada at all?
Monarchs?
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And they go to Mexico.
It was like a Canadian entomologist scientist that discovered the whole Mexico thing.
See? That's why we didn't pick it then. It would have been rude.
Because it just passes through and is awesome, and that's why.
Yeah, it should be like the NAFTA insect rather than the U.S. insect.
What is the U.S. insect?
We don't have a national insect, unfortunately.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, we would want to pick something that's unique.
They would probably pick the honeybee, which...
This is a whole other discussion.
Painted lady.
Yeah.
Butterfly.
But it's everywhere again. You'd want something that's unique to America, right? To the U.S.
Then it's probably a pest.
It's probably a pest, yeah. Mm. The American cockroach.
Actually,
Let's think about that.
I don't know if that is.
Anyway, this one is also a migratory insect. To get us back on track here, entomologists.
Yes. And people would never know because the monarch is overshadowed. So, right. But this year, kind of the painted lady crashed the monarch migratory party. But the good thing is everyone's learning so much about them.
True.
You know, everyone's being more curious. So
that's true.
That's good.
So can you describe for our listeners the migratory pattern a little bit for the painted lady?
I want to say no, because it's a little, it's periodic one way.
Okay.
And then it's kind of unpredictable.
We're still learning about it.
We're definitely still learning about it. And perhaps not, is the answer I get when I talk to, like, even the expert,
right,
the painted ladies.
Right.
Dr. Bitzer out of Iowa State.
So we're going to include some links to that. That's the Vanessa Project?
Yes.
Okay.
So we are always looking for more information. And because we can't be outside all the time as scientists and entomologists and researchers, it's really important to have, like, the public and general, you know, citizen scientists, as they call it. So we're working on that. But their migratory pattern seems to come from the south in the spring. And then they head north. And then before it turns, you know, cold in the winter, during the fall, they have another migratory pattern going south. So there's some in California and in the deserts of the southwest. So Albuquerque, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
All the cool places.
All the warmer places.
All the warmer places.
And then when they head up north, they sometimes do get into Canada. I think, though, this year was a really big year for them going up to Canada, in first time in, like, maybe over a decade. So it was a really big year. And on the way, they will stop, lay eggs. And so, you know, the whole migratory story is that it's not that same butterfly going from, you know, California or Mexico and going all the way up to Canada and coming all the way back. It's throughout generations. So when a caterpillar hatches out of, you know, I mean, goes, you know, turns into a butterfly and starts flying, it's heading generally in the same direction as all the other butterflies.
Right.
It's not the same one.
Right. The Albuquerque adult is not the one that got to Ottawa.
Right.
Okay. So there have been some caterpillars in between there, in between the southwest and the northern portions of their migration.
Right.
Okay. And they, it's sort of a staged invasion of Canada.
Possibly.
Yeah, and we're still learning a lot about that, is what I think you and I have discovered doing some research for this online, right?
Yeah, well, and it's funny because you will text me a picture of like butterflies you see like in Nebraska City, and right. What do I say? How many have you seen, and what's the temperature there, and where are they located? Are they moving? You know, we're always looking for kind of data.
We do like data.
We want to know more.
We're scientists.
Yes.
And we want to be able to provide people scientific information as extension entomologists, but sometimes we need help producing some of that data. And that kind of brings in that citizen science angle that you were talking about. So what are some citizen science projects that people can participate in with Vanessa Cardui?
Okay, so I got into the iNaturalist. I downloaded the app on my phone, but you can go to it, I don't know, on your computer, mm-hmm. and you can submit photos. But they want information for that project. So you say that you're contributing to the Painted Lady or Vanessa Cardui project, and then I'll ask you questions like, how many did you see? What are they doing? What's what's the weather like? What's the wind blowing? Because they want to know when they're starting to migrate and which directions they're going. So there's always a lot of questions. So I'll post pictures. But to say, the important thing is when you don't see anything, they want to know that too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of times people won't report, I'm not seeing them anymore. Right.
Negative data is important in something like
right.
this.
Right. Absolutely. And so I don't know. That's one of the things that I do. Or I'll ask people when they send me the picture if I could post that and ask for the information.
Sure. So iNaturalist, check that out. It's a good app. If you uploaded it to Bug Guide and stuff like that, would it help as well?
It wouldn't hurt.
Right.
But I think the people that are collecting the data for the, you know, the project, if you go and look up like my butterfly migrations, it's all maps of the monarch. So it would be cool if we could, you know, over time put together a map of painted ladies so right. that we'd have the more answers, I guess.
So you did talk to an expert, somebody at Iowa State. Who did you speak with?
I talked to Dr. Royce Bitzer.
Okay. Through email, and you guys were chatting about what's been going on here and what kind of information did he provide you?
Well, I like exchanging emails with him because he will answer my questions, but then he's always like, I gotta go. I'm gonna go look, you know, go look, look at butterflies. I'm gonna right. go tag this. And it just seems like he lives like the dream entomologist life, which, you know, people think that about us too. So it can always be deceiving, but I asked him four questions. And so I asked him, you know, why are we seeing so many butterflies in the metro area? And he was talking like the butterflies that are here are here from some type of migration, whether it's the spring migration and okay. the eggs were laid here or, the fall migration and they're coming through. And, you know, we've had such probably a big emergence in Nebraska in the last, you know, month or so.
Right.
And then the ones coming back from Canada, North Dakota and the North, they're meeting up. And so that population is just so big. And right now, if you look at the butterflies, some of them kind of look beat up. And so I'm almost assuming that those ones have come from a far distance and they've experienced so much. And then the ones that have emerged, they're a little bit smaller and they're perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So we have wise and worldly butterflies.
Yes. And they will
ones.
Meet up and they will migrate south. But he said that there's possibly there could be three or four generations in this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did he have any information about why, what occurred this year to cause such a bloom of butterflies?
Well, in order to predict that, sort of, like, and he said it's different. For a fall migration, it's very difficult to predict.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't, there's got to be so much things going right in all these different areas, because when you migrate, you know, there's all these environmental things that have to be perfect in all these different areas. So he said he can predict more likely the spring migration, and that has to do with the El Nino years. And so during those type of years, then in the winter, then it has more rain in the deserts, which create more blooms okay. and then more food and, you know, breeding area for the Painted Lady. And then that way, there's just more to go north.
We're talking about like down in Albuquerque and everywhere that you mentioned before.
Las Vegas. And
so yeah. we had 2016 El Nino. lots of rain down in those areas, probably a lot more food. And then that led to the spring migration that we saw, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. But what about this coming back this way?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay, okay.
But he predicts, so one of my questions was also, well, are they going to leave soon? Because I wanted to know. That's why I needed to take a day off to go watch butterflies. And he said he suspects that when the temperature drops and the wind changes to go south, they might just hitch a ride back and help themselves out. And so what we want to know is, do they go straight south or do they go a little west before they do that? They saw a big migration over Labor Day in some places in Iowa. And so we're kind of waiting for it here. But right now it's pretty awesome.
Right. It is. It's a lot of fun to go out and check out all these butterflies that are buzzing around.
And then when I asked him if, you know, if we probably see that this next year, it was one of those perhaps not.
Right.
So.
But that's really cool. I think that it sounds like everything broke right for the butterflies this year, for these painted ladies. Everything was good.
It's like the perfect reverse storm.
Right. So if you haven't gone out and seen it yet, definitely get outside and look for some painted lady butterflies. We'll post lots of pictures of them. We'll post some comparison pictures of painted ladies and things like red admirals and monarchs and silver spotted skippers, who are all out and about right now as well, so that you can tell the difference between them. And I just hope that everybody takes an opportunity to enjoy this portion of the wondrous pageantry of nature. And if you do and you take some pictures, definitely tweet them at us. I am at @JLarson_UNL. Larson is LARSON. And Jody, who are you?
I am at @JodyBugsMeUNL.
That's a much better name. I should have thought of that before.
And so please bug me. And if you want to see bugs show up in your Twitter feed, I'm tweeting a lot.
So. Definitely give us both a follow and tweet at us #PaintedLady. And we would love to see the photographs that you're coming up with of butterflies.
Yes. Butterflies.
And until next time, you can find us on the web at arthro-pod.blogspot.com. You can tweet at us with the Twitters that we mentioned before, and you can just find our email addresses through the University of Nebraska, Lincoln listservs and all that kind of stuff. And we would love to hear from you and hear ideas that you have for future shows. But next week, I think that we're going to be talking with Mike, and we're going to be talking about some spiders. So a little more gross of a topic, I guess you could say, to some people.
It's going to be fantastic. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.